You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with artist Jason Yates. Jason, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Let's talk about what you're doing in the studio now. What's going on? Is there a particular project or idea you're pursuing now?
Right now I'm working on some. I've got a few shows coming up in France next fall, and you know, I'm just kind of like working through some of those issues and problems. And you know, a part of what I'm engaged in, you know, is I'm wondering what is going to translate. You know, because what I'm interested in is sort of like dealing with these sort of microeconomies as a means of like discussing like, you know, the larger sort of late capitalist situation. So, I mean, at this point, I'm interested in you know, making lemonade stands. If you can imagine like red grooms making lemonade stands, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with things right now. You know,
I can imagine that. I can imagine that very distinctly. So, and that is, I mean, in part of the translation, is this notion about a critique of capitalism in Europe? Is that what you're talking about, or no?
Yeah, I'm not even. You know, at this point, it kind of seems like, you know, all the same, you know, fucking mess. You know, and so I wouldn't. You know, I mean, do they have lemonade stands in France? I don't know. Like I don't know if this is something that, you know, is going to even translate. Like, you know, do French children like, you know, need money? Like I don't know. Like is that a tradition, or is that something that's largely American? You know, obviously I haven't done the research on it yet. You know, I don't even care. You know, I mean, I at this point, you know, I'm just interested in like demonstrating these like sort of, you know, dysfunctional microeconomies. You know, I was also thinking about, you know, it was referred to as Shakedown Street in Grateful Dead culture. You know, and for a lot of us, that's, you know, during that period of time, you know, that's, you know, where I sort of learned about how business was conducted, you know, in any formal, like, tactile sense. You know, it was watching, you know, business transactions in, like, a Grateful Dead parking lot. You know,
let's talk about that, because I was going to ask you about, you know, early career stuff and Fast Friends. Is that what you were talking about? Was it around the time, you know, when you moved to Los Angeles and formed Fast Friends, Inc.? And if so, you want to talk about that? Is that what you were just referring to now?
Well, I mean, yes, it did. But, like, yeah, I mean, you have to understand, like, where I was coming from in Detroit, there wasn't, like, you know, art scenes weren't like is like sort of like, you know, delineated and filed, and you know, like, you know, in Los Angeles, like for a long time there was like, okay, you had your music scene, you had your architectural scene, you had your art scene, like, yeah, you know, like everything was like pretty well mapped out. And where I was coming from, like the population of like creative people was more scarce, so it's all sort of like lumped into one thing, you know, or like, you know, there's a lot of different genres, like, you know, it's a pot of stew, you know, and that's, you know, where I was kind of coming from it. Like, you know, the people that I was interested in, the people that I looked up to when I was young were, you know, designers, musicians, painters, dancers, like everything at kind of at once. And so it was kind of a shock for me when I came out here to see that, like, this is, you know, in a larger sense, like, that this wasn't all one thing, you know. Of course, it's changed. Like, that's changed. And, you know, Fast Friends, like, that project, first of all, like, that was coming out of, like, a lot of my insecurities, you know. I mean, it was, you know, one of the things that was really humbling is I was, you know, one of Mike Kelly's, like, sort of lackeys for a while. And it's like, really hard to work for somebody like that. As much as, like, you know, you want to get close to that flame when you're young and impressionable, and you want to see how it operates. It's really like hard, you know, especially somebody who's that far along. And you know, so I mean, I kind of like left graduate school and like LA. I had to leave for a while, and I just sort of left humiliated. And two, I could kind of see what was coming. Like, I could see that this was like, you know, some people's mind, this was like a career like, you know, calling yourself an artist and pursuing this. This is like a good business move. And I could see a lot of people that I was going through school with, like that went to UCLA and Art Center and Cal Arts at that time. They went on to become like these sort of like great entrepreneurs. And like, there's a part of me that like, I knew that like, I couldn't function that well. I couldn't function on that level. I couldn't like, you know, have all these sort of like acumens down. And for me, like Fast Friends was about like, you know, we're, okay, fine. Like, what is like kind of the worst thing that I could do, you know, coming from like that so-called pedigree, you know, this sort of like high art pedigree that, you know, is it that? I don't know. But I thought like rock posters, you know, and I soon found that like by doing that, I wasn't like, because of the way that I went about it, I was never accepted in either community, you know, which was just fine by me because I was associated and my friends were, you know, by and large, people at that point in time who were also sort of like not going to fit in any place neatly or be accepted in that regard.
Right. And was it the beginning of what you're saying is like, but you were talking about microeconomies. Isn't that in a sense what was happening?
Sure. I mean, like for me, like it was that. Like I've never really, like besides like, you know, teaching here and there a little bit, I've never really had to have a so-called job. Because I was, you know, I was aware of these microeconomies. Like, I could walk into, you know, a seedy bar, you know, in LA's East Side back then, and, you know, I could stay up for a couple days making, like, posters for said event, and I knew I could walk into, you know, a specific bar, like the Little Joy back then, and I could sell these things for $25 to $40 a piece. And if they're really, like, if I thought they're real suckers, maybe I could even get 100, you know, And I would make just enough money to get what I needed, you know, all in cash, you know. I mean, I don't know. I hope the IRS isn't listening to this because
it's
big money
they'd
be going after.
Yes.
It is like these weird sort of like economies. And I see this happening more and more, like artists are creating these like, you know, sort of like strange, absurd economies.
So that's what I wanted to talk to you about more. So that was one of them, and really now even that is a language that you're still talking about. What were some microeconomies in between then and now that you've been involved in, memorable ones, if that makes sense as a question? It's very much applicable to the real world in a sense, right? How people are surviving.
Well, it's funny, like, I'm kind of caught between these worlds. Like, for a long time, I had a lot of advice for the sort of drug dealers that I would deal with on how they could improve their business acumen. I mean, these are the kind of things that I would, like, you know, that I would see, like, you know, just, you know, I mean, in terms of, like these microeconomies, I don't really know. Like, I mean, not having a job, you know, is one thing that definitely attracts me. But, like, in terms of, like, you know, the microeconomy that I was around, that I saw was, you know, like, okay, for instance.
But weren't you making them as well? Were you witnessing them, or were you kind of, I mean, the posters just
both.
Kind of making one?
I think both. Yeah. You know, I think both. And, you know, I mean, they're anything but stable, but, I mean, for me, like, if we're going to ever, like, refer to anything like approaching the American dream, I mean, isn't that what we're talking about? Like, the ability to create your own economy, you know, and you know, exist and achieve, like, whatever it is you need within that. I mean, and so, I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, unfortunately, in some ways, like, or fortunately, that's really what, like, a lot of people approach, you know, this kind of production and art making with now. You know, it's not as much about ideas. It's about, like, you know, saying fuck you to capitalism while participating in it at the same time. Like, you know, it's
right.
A hustle. You know, and I mean, that's always been, like, interesting to somebody like me. Like, you know, hustlers.
Right. Well, it can also be in combination, right? I mean, the hustlers can be hustling the art, or you can be making art, and I think as you were saying earlier, you're kind of hustling in other microeconomies.
Well, I mean, for me, like, hand in hand, you know, and a lot of what I'm referring to, you know, are these, you know, I mean, can we even call them subcultures at this point? But it's referring, you know, to these subcultures.
Right. That
continues, I mean,
to be.
Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. But these subs, so these, I mean, it was what I was interested in, and I think a few questions ago also was, so what are the subcultures that you've encountered in those different worlds between Fast Friends and now? Does that make sense? If it doesn't, you can tell me no.
I mean, you know, I didn't so much encounter them. Like, I think I was
drug dealers is one.
Drug dealers in them.
Is one, right?
I existed within them. And, you know, I was a little older than a couple of my friends, like, you know, like, respect to Ariel and, you know, Matt Fishbeck, and you know, I saw how we might be able to pay rent, you know, and you know, not really be, you know, we could maintain, like, our lifestyles, and you know, so I sort of, like, took note, you know, I mean. And I also was exposed to, like, George Quentin and that whole world at a very early age, and, you know, and participated in, hung out in that community. And, you know, it was like sort of a traveling circus. And I could kind of see how that economy worked, you know, and it's
right.
Kind of almost like a circus economy, you know, if that, you know, if there is such a thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, there wasn't anything to gain by being an artist where I grew up. You know, it was more like an affliction. Like, you know, like, you weren't, you know, like, you weren't gonna work on the line if there was one, even at that point. And, you know, I mean, if you're gonna go to college, what were you gonna do with that? You know, but, like, you know, I'm referring to art school. I mean, it was, you know, where I came from, it was like, you pretty much, like, you know, people would kind of, like, roll their eyes at you and kind of tap you on the head, and good luck with that, you know. It was
right.
Like a really pragmatic culture that I was raised in, even though within that culture and that history, you know, the people, you know, some of the individuals who have really informed popular culture the most are from there. You know, so it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, either you're going to, like, jump off the top of the building, or you're going to create your own world and you're going to create your own economy.
Hmm.
You know, because it's sort of like, you know, coming up in that, it's like sort of, you know, in some ways, like, if you're going to step outside the line, it's like sort of unforgiving.
The world outside the line, in a sense.
The world outside the line. Right.
Right. It takes some nerve. I mean, you know, someone maybe recently was talking to me about it takes the ability to be able to fail, right? To be able to somehow withstand failure and everything that comes with.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, I guess in some ways I'm more interested in failure than I am success. You know, I mean, failure to me is, you know, I mean, failure is a lot more fun to talk about than success.
Right, like the show. I mean, to move up to the upcoming show in France, you know, you're talking about whether or not it's going to translate, whether or not it will work, and, you know, maybe in a way that kind of pulls together some of what we were talking about. It's what will that communicate there? What will that mean there?
You know, I mean, honestly, you know, whenever I set out to, like, you know, take on, some sort of problem in a show. Like, I mean, as far as I, it's like, that's really the last thing that's ever discussed by anybody who sees it. You know, this is all like kind of my fucking problem. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much, I mean, some of the issues in different shows and the way that people have talked about my work, you know, I mean, it couldn't really be farther from anything that interests me for the most part. You know, I mean, with the exception of a few people, you know, I think that most responses to art in general are mostly mediocre.
I agree. Most art, you know, I interviewed Robert Storr last week, and he was really shredding other critics everywhere, saying that, you know, there's not any good writing about art happening now, that there used to be, but no one's really getting into it and totally doing their art history and understanding.
And the people that do are fucking blacklisted.
Right.
For the most part. You know, I think the people are undervalued. You know, I mean, that was one thing that, like, you know, it was one thing that was, like, kind of amusing, you know, in my involvement in the Whitney, this past Whitney. It was, like, how people rushed to you know, put some copy in on like, their miserable fucking experience at the Whitney, you know? I mean, it's, like, it's a race, and mostly it's just, like, clickbait, mediocre bullshit. You know,
you mean the negative reviews, like, of the Whitney that always come out, you know?
You know, and like Jerry and Roberta, like, fuck, come on, man. Like, I don't know who, like, even, like, for the most part, who values that?
Well, no, I don't know. You can look at the Robert Storr interview I just finished, and Robert Storr says the same thing. They're just, you know, that has nothing to
do
with it.
I
want to
know who that
is.
You know, how do they have jobs? How do most of these named critics have jobs? You know, it's been a long time since they've done, like, any art criticism. You know,
right. Well, it is, I think, as you were saying, also part of the state of journalism, which is at a fairly low state, is that they're looking for clickbait. How many comments, how many clicks can you get? And those usually are from sound bites that are short and inflammatory. So there's
no, it's
not
really
room
fucked,
for
like,
a lot of depth.
I mean, who knew that something like Instagram would become such a powerful commercial implement for art? I mean,
right.
it's astounding. And people take
it
seriously. Is. People take an image that is, like, you know, dependent on your phone, an inch or an inch and a half by an inch and a half, as the gospel. You know, I mean, you don't really need to go out anymore. You don't really need to experience art. Like, you can just look at your phone and you're on top of the game. I mean, to some extent.
I mean, would you like all your work to be viewed on the phone? I mean, maybe we should direct the listeners to
find me on Instagram. Like, no, I don't. Like, you know, I think that, like, I think it's good to, like, I think it's good to get out of your screen.
Right.
You know, social media can be fun. Let's face it. Like, sharing things can be fun. You know, but I think that at this point, like, it's a crutch.
I think so too. Yeah.
You know, get out and see each other.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's. I mean, you know, you're talking about people just getting together. It's another thing that's echoed. And, you know, when I talk to curators and all kinds of people, like, the, you know, the word on the street is get together with other people.
Yeah, it's a word. And I think that if you're paying attention and you really have the desire to be distracted by art and culture in general, you know, it is and always will be sort of a word and mouth thing. You know, I think most other things are in vain. Like, you know, and that's still the strongest means of conveying, you know, if something's interesting or not, if it's worthy of your time.
Right.
So, I mean, take it full circle, like, you know, word of mouth is an interesting microeconomy.
It is, and one that we're encouraging here, which is maybe a good place to end it. Thanks so much for talking with us, because that's the idea here, through, you know, this word of mouth. There'll be more sharing about the economies we discuss. Thanks a lot for talking with us today, Jason.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.